Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who satisfies you with good? The Lord works righteousness. He made known his ways to Moses. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He will not always chide. He does not deal with us according to our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, as a father shows compassion to his children, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the hymn, Chief of Sinners. It's just one of those classics, right? It's one that every time you sing it, you can sing it in almost any Lutheran church, and everybody will know how to do it. And you guys did excellent, by the way. Good job. But it does, unfortunately, kind of miss the point of what Paul is trying to say. As you probably noticed, one of the places that our hymn for today gets its inspiration is our epistle reading for today from 1 Timothy. And make no mistake, the hymn does an excellent job of what it's trying to do. It helps us by reminding us that we are sinners, that we ourselves have failed, that we are people who need the love of Jesus. And it is probably worth mentioning as well that when we say chief of sinners though I be, that actually is probably a pretty good way of thinking about yourself when you walk into a room. It helps us to remind ourselves that, you know, as bad as I think this person or that person or the person across the street is, that I myself am probably worse. That's not a horrible way to think about yourself, mostly because it helps us to be humble. It helps to encourage humility inside of us. And also, it helps us to empathize and sympathize with the other people around us. That when we see other people making mistakes, when we see other people sinning, it's good to remind yourself, you know, I make mistakes too. I sin too. But perhaps the best thing about this hymn is that it does such a wonderful job of focusing us on the wondrous truth of Jesus' love. And it's Jesus' love for you as an individual. If you were the only person who was a sinner, Jesus would have come and died for you. And this hymn does a great job of showing that. But while the hymn is teaching and making excellent points, it does kind of start off on a little bit of the wrong foot. It engages in a practice that has been called narcissus, which is just a fun word to say, so that's why I had to put it in. And the term was coined by another pastor, I don't remember which one, but I think it does get the idea across. It's narcissism combined with exegesis, or eisegesis, as the case may be. And what it is it's when you're going through the Bible and you're reading, and when you're going through, you sort of insert yourself into the text and turn the Bible story into something that is completely about you. It almost sort of turns you into the main character of the Bible. And the hymn, Chief of Sinners, is, unfortunately, a pretty good example of somebody doing this with our reading for today from Timothy. Because, you see, Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, is not trying to say that everyone is the foremost sinner or that everyone is the chief of sinner. Paul thinks and believes that he himself is the actual chief of sinners. In our text for today, Paul, writing to the young pastor Timothy, is talking about himself. When Paul calls himself the foremost or the chief of sinners, he really means it. He means that when he thinks about all of the people that he knows, all of the Christians that he knows, all of the unbelievers that he knows, and he thinks about who is the worst person who has ever existed, Paul thinks it might be himself. He thinks that he is the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners. And recognize, there's a pretty solid chance that he knew Judas. He gives this list of himself. He was a blasphemer. That is to say that he mocked God. That he didn't believe God. That when people spoke about how Jesus was Lord and that he was risen from the dead, Paul made fun of them. And even worse than that, perhaps, at least the making fun of part, is that he was a persecutor. When these people came and spoke about the risen Lord, he killed them. He is the one who oversaw the martyrdom of Stephen. You'll remember when you're going through and reading that story about how Stephen, the deacon who was stoned, that Paul was standing there and it says that he was holding the coats of those who were doing the stoning, which means that he was kind of supervising it. He was managing it. And of course, as he's on the road to Damascus, he goes there to find more Christians so that he can find more people to kill. Paul was an insolent opponent. This is sort of contrasted against a respected opponent. Maybe you could even think of like a rival, right? There are some people who, even if you're competing against them, even if you're fighting against them, you know that they're honorable. You know that they are respectful, and so you can respect them even as you're working against them. That's not Paul. Paul was an insolent opponent. He did not respect the Christians. He did not honor the church. He didn't think that they were worth anything, and by doing so, he didn't believe that Jesus was honorable or worthy of respect. But despite all of that, he was acting ignorantly. That is to say, in unbelief. The reason that he was doing all of these things was because he truly did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And yet, despite all of that, Christ still saved even him. If Paul was the only person who would have ever sinned, the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners, Jesus would have come for Paul. And in fact, he did come for Paul. Christ came to him on that road, and even in the act of rebuking him, even in the act of forcing him to repent, Christ gave him the strength. Christ judged him to be faithful after that repentance. And Christ appointed him to his service. Jesus was merciful to Paul. And it was that mercy that converted Paul. Christ's grace overflowed for him with faith and love. And Paul knows this. And Paul says that Christ actually ended up saving him for this reason. That in Paul, as the foremost and chief of sinners, Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him. That is to say, that when you think about yourself, when you think about your own life, your own sin, you can sort of look at Paul and you can basically say to yourself, well, gosh, Jesus died for Paul. Jesus went really pretty far out of his way to save Paul. So he must do that for me, too. He must love me, too. If God can reach out and save even Paul, can forgive even Paul, who was essentially a government-sanctioned terrorist against Christians, a person who was an unbeliever of the highest order, if God can save that man, can turn him into an apostle who wrote the majority of the New Testament, and who ended up dying for the very person who he was persecuting, then he can most certainly save you. And in fact, he has. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that means you. And as he comes, he doesn't come begrudgingly. He doesn't come only because he has to. He comes because he truly loves you. He loves you with a steadfast love that we can barely even comprehend. So much so that he is patient with you. When you mess up, when you backslide, when you forget things, when you don't remember to pray, when you aren't able to read your Bible, when you accidentally sin against your neighbor, when you purposely sin against your neighbor, the Lord is patient with you. He will forgive you. He does forgive you. And because of that, because of what he has done, because when he died, he earned everything for you, you are free to praise him just like Paul does. To praise him as the King of ages, as the immortal, invisible, only God, the one who is patient with you, the one who loves you, the one who forgives you. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.